Thank you for listening to this teaching from Kingdom Discipleship. How well do you handle trials or hardships or difficulties or inconveniences that the Lord either brings into your life or allows in your life? James chapter 1 declares, quote, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Do you consider imposition or inconvenience, quote, "pure joy"? Or do you consider it pure misery? Let's open our Bible now that we may learn to have a proper and biblical perspective when dealing with trials and hardships. Well, good morning and welcome to another teaching. It's a early Friday morning here in Texas, and I'm here in the studio with Stephen, and we're going to talk about today perspective in suffering. And it happens to be a good morning to talk about it because Stephen, you know, he did everything he had to do last night to put himself in a position so that if he's up and when he's up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go and to be ready for this teaching and to do all that he has to do, you know, he wants to be rested. But sure enough, you know, he got here and, you know, he had said that, you know, he slept very, very poorly and he was tired. I mean, he got here at 6:20, got to the studio at 6:20 in the morning. And so he was up, you know, certainly earlier than that. And I already had coffee made. And he was talking about how just, you know, when he's really laboring to live for the Lord, you know, why is it as he's getting older, he's having trouble sleeping through the night? And I told him that what was interesting is I didn't sleep well at all either. My wife didn't sleep well at all either. And regrettably, Stephen, myself, or my wife May, we weren't joyful about it. We didn't consider it pure joy that we were going through that difficulty, that trial, that inconvenience, and all that goes well, all that goes with not being well rested. So, why are we like this? Why are we babies? Okay, I am more often than not, as I examine my life, when I'm going through a trial or a difficulty or a hardship or an inconvenience or I'm being imposed on, I'm discontent. Now think about that. When you're going through a difficulty in your own life, or if someone else is, or a trial or a hardship or an inconvenience, or you're being imposed on in a way that you don't appreciate, would you say that you handle it in a way that's joyful and excited because you know that the Lord is using this particular situation for your growth, for your improvement, for your maturity in Christ, as we'll get to here in a second in James 1? Or do you not think about that at all? And are you just discontent, frustrated, irritated, agitated? Like me, my baby, as I said, right? Because that's when you see a little baby, right? If you see a baby and it's whatever they call that, a high chair, and it's got the bib on and the baby's whatever it is, 6 months old, a year old, you know, whatever it is. It's got the food in front of it and it's not happy. I can just remember seeing babies get mad, crying, food all over their face, throwing it on the ground, throwing a fit. Now, that's a picture of how we look when we don't handle trials or difficulties or hardships or inconveniences or impositions with the right attitude. Now, hopefully you can recognize what I'm saying. Hopefully you realize that, you know what, this is good. This is real, because I don't know anyone that handles these things well. And yet the scripture is clear about them. All right, let me pray first. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, and your grace on our lives. We thank you that we have our Bible. We thank you that we have this living word of God that we can come to and study so we can better understand why it is we're going through trials and difficulties and why you've either caused them or allowed them in our life. Father, I do ask you to help us to have a better perspective when it comes to suffering, to have perspective, biblical perspective in suffering. Lord Jesus, we worship you today and we thank you. We thank you for becoming a human man for us. We thank you for living a perfect, righteous life on our behalf that we could never live. We thank you for dying a torturous death that we deserve to die. And we thank you that you're alive and risen, and we worship you today. Holy Spirit, we do ask you to lead us and guide us now as we open your word. We ask that you would give us eyes that see, ears that hear, hearts that understand. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, so the first thing for us to understand that we really don't understand, because this is not talked about, it's rarely talked about in the church today, is that we are assigned, that this life is in part an assignment to sufferings. We are called by the Lord to go through suffering, difficulty, hardship, and inconvenience. We want to bypass that. Certainly I do. I want heaven on earth. I don't want to have to deal with Romans 8:17, okay? I just want the glory of Jesus. I want just the wonder of it all. I want the excitement of it all. I want the wonder of salvation in heaven and eternal life and peace and grace. I mean, doesn't that just sound so good? But when it comes to dealing with the trials and the difficulties, the hardships, the pains, the inconveniences, the impositions that come into my life in this life, because that's how this whole thing is set up. Okay. You know, the problem is we don't get that this, how this is set up by the Lord. Understand this. Every single thing that comes into your life. You heard me say that Stephen put himself in a position to sleep beautifully, to do everything well, and he still had a very poor night's rest, knowing that he would, you know, he'd have to get up this morning. You know, he still got up. He was here early. Bam, we were ready to go at 6:30. So he did his duty. But, you know, he was simply sharing that again. It's like, you know, why would the Lord not just bless him with a good night's rest? And I'm the same way. Why didn't I sleep well? Why didn't my wife sleep well? Because all of us tend to feel better when we have a really good night's rest. And what Stephen and I talked about was that it's essential that we understand that the Lord, number one, either caused us to sleep poorly because he wanted us to persevere through this day with less rest. He wanted Stephen to bring glory to Jesus by getting to the studio, getting here on time, doing his work, doing his edits, doing everything he's supposed to do, even though he didn't get a good night's rest. This is how we grow up, right? Like if you're an employer and you're a boss wherever you are, the employee can't say, well, I can't come to work today because I didn't sleep well last night. That dog won't hunt. Doesn't work, right? I'm sorry you didn't sleep well, but we have to go to work and do our job. It's the same thing in the Lord. Well, what's essential we understand is either the Lord caused him to sleep poorly or he allowed him to sleep poorly. He certainly knew Jesus knew that Stephen would sleep poorly, that I would sleep poorly, that my wife would sleep poorly. And he either allowed it or he caused it. And what we don't seem to understand, we tend to, you know, we tend to want to not blame the Lord or, you know, or think he has nothing to do with it. When you're an all-powerful, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God, three-person God, there's not a big difference between causing and allowing. Because in a thought, he could have changed it, and we all could have slept beautifully. We all could have woken up with near heavenly bliss. But no, that's not what the Lord had for us this morning. So let's look at Romans 8, 17. So the first thing we want to understand is that part of this life is set up in Christ, in our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the Holy Spirit. If you're in Christ, you have been assigned a level of trial, difficulty, suffering, hardship, pain, inconvenience, imposition for this life. It's part of how the whole thing is. We don't just get to have heaven on earth the way I like it. That's what I want. It's clear because after walking with Jesus near 30 years, you think that I would do this really well, but no, I don't. Look at Romans 8, 17. These are not hard words to understand. If you're in Christ today, God the Father is your heavenly Father. Romans 8, 17 says, now if we are children, spiritual children, then we are heirs. Wow. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Now you think of that, that would just say, period, hallelujah, I'm an heir with Jesus. I'm not only going to inherit heaven, but all that goes with that. Oh my goodness. My wife was saying yesterday, she wants there to be dogs in heaven, and it's just going to be wonderful. She wasn't excited about the dogs in heaven when she didn't sleep well today, nor was I. Why can't it just end there? Right? But no, Romans 8, 17 doesn't end there. Now, if we are children, again, we're spiritually alive. We've received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. God the Father has become our Heavenly Father. Instead of just God our judge, he goes from a righteous God and judge to our Heavenly Father, if we're in Jesus. We're his spiritual sons and daughters. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, and it doesn't end there, comma, if indeed, not just if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Why would Paul write that? What's up with that? The verse cannot be misunderstood unless we don't want to. I'll read the whole thing again. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. You see that? If indeed. So if you're a genuine Christian today, you've been assigned a level of hardship and difficulty and suffering, and everybody goes through it. And that's because we're going to have this incredible glory that we're going to share in. We're already sharing in it now, but it'll be full blown when we leave this life. When we leave this life, there'll be no more suffering or pain or hardship. That time will have ended for all eternity, and this life will have seemed like a dot. This life will have seemed like my brother Keith says, he writes a weekly email, and he's encouraged me when he said, you know, he shared this with me years ago, and I've always remembered it. You know, he spoke about, you know, different levels of life and how we experience them differently. It was very profound to me. I never forgot it. Keith Myers. And he still writes these emails, and I read them every week, and I'm blessed by them. But he spoke about, you know, when you were in your mother's womb, you were alive. Okay, there's no question you were alive as a baby in your mother's womb. Do you remember that time in life at all? No, it seems like, you know, it was a moment in time, but you don't recollect it. Then you pass to a different form of life, right? When you left your mother's womb, you came into a different kind of life, right? You don't recall the life in the womb. You know you were there, but you don't recall it, right? And now it just seems like it was a moment in time, even though you were in there some 9 months, right? It'll be the same now when you leave this life and when you go to heaven. You're not going to remember all the bad things in this life, all the terrible things, all the hurts, all the pains, right? That will, you'll know that you had lived, but you won't have a memory of it. It'll be like it was a moment in time when you're in eternity. So again, all that's to say that now, if we are children, if we're in Jesus, children of our Heavenly Father, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. So that's number one. We need to have a perspective that we have been assigned these sufferings, these difficulties, these temptations, right? Go ahead and turn to the next book, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look what Paul writes in verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. So when you're going through a trial or a suffering or a hardship or a difficulty, there are temptations to all kinds of sin. The biggest temptation that we fail in, that I certainly fail in, is the temptation to complain and to be a baby. The temptation to be dissatisfied, the temptation to be discontent. Believe it or not, we don't have to be. We can be, you won't just wake up and get there, but we can begin today to turn our perspective when a trial or a difficulty or a hardship or a pain or an imposition or an inconvenience comes into our life. We can begin to go to Jesus with it. We can thank him for it. We can ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what he wants us to learn from it. And we actually don't have to be disappointed about it. We can get there. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. Everybody's going through difficult trials and difficulties that lead to temptations. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. So again, this would apply to, you know, to obviously temptations to sin, but also temptations to just not handle or manage trials and difficulties and hardships well. You know, the Lord is there with us, and we can actually grow up and begin to handle all of these things, knowing that they're good for us, knowing that the Lord either caused it or allowed it. He's walking with us through it, and we are going to grow from it. Wow, golly. Let's go back to the book of Romans. Romans, thank you, Lord. Look at Romans 5. I'll start in verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Doesn't this sound wonderful? Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Man, you just thought Paul would have been good there. But no, verse 3, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Sorry, Paul. Sorry, Holy Spirit. We don't. We don't rejoice at all in our sufferings because we're babies. And I'm sorry for that. But we should. He must be some kind of grown-up Christian. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Why? Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Verse 5, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Yeah. So there it is. We again, I'm excited at this moment. The problem that I have is that, you know, I've worked to do this, and it's hard to get off the starting blocks. I have seasons where I do better than others. But I just confess, I confess to the Lord that I know the word of God says this. I know no matter what it is I'm going through, it can be anything in your life, spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially, or relationally. It can be a trial in any of those ways, right? Physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, or relationally, we can have trials and hardships and difficulties, right? We can have inconveniences. We can have pain. We can have imposition. Whatever it is, it could be a financial deal, right? It could be a relational deal, a relationship with a parent or a child or a friend or whatever it is. Whatever it is. Sufferings, not only so, verse 3, Romans 5, but we rejoice in our sufferings. It's, you know, we can actually have joy, okay? And we're going to close up here. Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, very, very famous verse, verses 2 through 4. James 1, 2 through 4, okay? And here's really the ultimate place, right? Read and reread these verses. Get these verses deep down in you. We've already shown that the scripture says that we are assigned in this life, that we need to, Romans 1, 17, share in some kind of level of suffering, difficulty, or hardship with Christ. And that comes through hardship or suffering or difficulty or inconvenience or imposition, spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially, or relationally, in all those different areas. These come. And, you know, we're heirs with Christ, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order, right? In order that we may also share in his glory. They go together, right? We just want the glory. We don't want to have to do that sharing in the suffering. And a big problem is, I talked to our senior elder Tom about this a lot. When you're going through the suffering or difficulty, it'd be one thing if Jesus showed up. I've talked to Stephen about this too. It'd be one thing if our relationship with Jesus was so deep that he showed up and he said, Stephen, you're going through this trial and difficulty because I've assigned it to you. And it's good for you, and you're bringing glory to my name, and it's going to help you grow to be a better man and a better servant and a better son. But we don't feel that when we're going through it. We don't know that. Now, by the way, sometimes we are going through sufferings as a consequence of our own life and of choices we've made. But even then, even if you're going through sufferings because of some sin or consequence in your life, even then, the promise is that the Lord is working it for your good, right? Romans 8, 28, right? And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him in everything and are called according to his purpose. So whatever it is, even if you caused it, suffering can come into our life three different ways. It can come as a consequence for sin. Even then, Jesus is using it. It can come as a spiritual attack. We have a spiritual enemy, the devil and the demons, and the Lord could allow spiritual attacks in our lives. Even then, the Lord is using it for our good. And then obviously it could come as sharing in the sufferings of Christ that have been assigned to us. And again, when people think of suffering, they somehow only think of being persecuted for Christ. certainly that is a form of suffering. But for the vast majority of us around the world as Christians, there are some Christians that still suffer terribly for Christ, even martyrs. But the vast majority of us, Jesus has to bring the suffering and difficulty in other ways, in the ways of trials and hardships and difficulties. James 1, verse 2. And here it is. There may be nothing that I do worse than this. You can examine yourself. How well do you do this? How well do you consider it pure joy? James 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. It's almost insane. It's like there's something wrong with him, right? Consider it not just joy, consider it pure joy. My brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, yeah. Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. There's a biblical fact that the trial is a good thing. It's a great thing. It's a wondrous thing. It's a thing that ought to cause you elation. Stephen wasn't elated that he slept so poorly. And shamefully enough, I wasn't either, because I complained like the baby that I am. And my wife certainly wasn't elated. We should have considered it pure joy that, you know what, that we're going to go through this day a little bit tired, that we're going to have to walk through this day with a little bit harder because we didn't get a good night's rest. We all failed in this. Consider it pure joy. This is possible. We can get to a place, but we have to be intentional about it. We have to intentionally focus on the perspective. We would have to, each of us have woken up today and thought, maybe got down on our knees and say, well, Father, that wasn't a very good night's rest, but we thank you and praise you. We thank you that it could have been worse. We thank you that you have something for us in this day. We thank you that we'll be benefited somehow. We know, Father, that the testing of our faith, because we want to respond properly in this, we want to serve others today, even though we're going to be more tired. We know that the testing of our faith is developing perseverance. And we know, Father, because of James verse 4 says, perseverance must finish its work so that we may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So, Father, I ask you to help me today to take joy, to understand that you're working this for my good and that I'll be better off somehow by your mercy and grace and sovereignty and providence from not having slept well last night. In Jesus' name, amen. Is that what Stephen did when he woke up? No. Is that what I did? No. Is that what my wife did? No. Why? We all know this, the three of us. I've talked about this many times. And it's embarrassing, really. All I can do is apologize to my Heavenly Father. Apologize because the holy angels are looking on and it's just not a very good example. It's almost like we do the opposite. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. We consider it pure misery whenever we face trials of many kinds. Is that not just true? So let's repent today, because we really do the opposite. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, means brothers and sisters. If you're in Christ today, whatever the trial, your hardship or difficulty or imposition or inconvenience you're going through, spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially, or relationally, consider it pure joy. Instead, we consider it pure misery. We don't generally pray. We don't ask the Lord what he's going to have us to learn from it today. We just want it to end. We just want to get back to the glory, right? We want to get back to the peace. That's what I like. Glory and peace and wonder. And I just like all my circumstances to be perfect. Isn't that nice? I'm sorry, Lord. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Here it is. Why is the Lord allowing or causing trials and difficulties in your life? Because you haven't gotten to that place yet where perseverance has finished its work so that you're mature and complete. Apparently, there are still, you could get to a place in this life. You could grow so mature in Christ that it won't be necessary anymore. But the fact that you still have trials or difficulties or hardships, again, even though you bring them on yourself, or I do, consequence of our choices, you know, the reason I say that is because so many people say, yeah, but my trials are just because I did this or this, or their trials because of this or that. That's true. Most of them are, many of them are. But even then, the Lord is still working it for our good. So again, try to start today to change your perspective on suffering. To know that the Lord has either caused it or allowed it. Jesus has either caused it or allowed it. That he's absolutely using it for your good. And that you will be better off when you come out the other side of it. And you'll be substantially better off if we go through it with a better, more humble, more content attitude. So, Father, all I can do now is just repent. I ask you to forgive me, Father, because I just preached this message, Father, and I don't know that there's anything I do worse than this. So I ask you to forgive me, Lord. I ask you to help me and all of us, Lord, to have a new perspective on suffering. Help us, Lord, to understand and to begin to appreciate the difficulties, knowing that they're there by either you causing it or allowing it, whether it's a consequence of our own sin, whether it's a spiritual attack, or whether we're suffering for Christ, and that it's been assigned to us, Lord. Help us to have that heart and have that mind more and more and more today. Lord Jesus, we worship you, we love you, and we thank you. Again, I ask you to forgive me, Lord, again, that I should be willing to do my part in suffering as you would have. So help us today, Lord, to begin to turn, to repent, to change our mind in the way we think of this, and to begin to live lives that are more content, even in the face of suffering, imposition, or inconvenience. Holy Spirit, seal it to our hearts now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.